Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome inside of this week's edition of The Word. I'm Tom Sears, and it's my absolute honor to be here with you as we finish up our series, Look to the Stars. And speaking of looking, we will begin a new series next week, Blockbusters and the Bible. And we're going to profile the life of Elijah. Well, not really the life of Elijah, but we're going to look at least in week one, we're going to look at how Elijah, after his greatest victory, he ran into a cave, and he's expecting God to speak. And we delivered this message last Sunday morning at New Beginnings Church in West Virginia, and what a powerful message that God provided for us. So we'll share that with you next week right here on The Word. But first things first, let's get to it. Welcome again inside the program, coming to you live from New Beginnings Church in Good Hope, West Virginia. It's 10 a.m. on the East Coast. Welcome to all of our listeners all around the country and around the world. We even have some of our friends from India listening. I'm very grateful for that. Welcome to the program. And for those of you listening from India, I long to see you again. We'll see you real soon. God bless you. Praying for you as always. Okay, we're going to look to the stars here this morning one final time, as we try to take a look at the life of Abraham. Now, Abraham had this great big dream, and from all, I guess maybe, points of view, this dream was not going to come to pass. It was not a dream that even seemed possible. And I want to encourage you this morning that even though things in your life look impossible, we serve a God who can do impossible things. When Walt Disney died, reporters asked his wife, let me rewind. He had passed away before the completion of Walt Disney World in Florida. And when Walt Disney World opened, a reporter asked his wife, "Does it bother you that he never got to see this?" Immediately, instantly said, "Oh, but he did. That's why it's here." You see, many of us have been given dreams, and we know that in many ways they've been planted by God. And then there's times in our lives where we reach a certain place, we begin to question, God, where are you? Why don't you show up and make my dream a reality? And the truth is that some of us never realize our dream, because we give up way too soon. And I want to tell you this morning, and if I had a big idea for this morning's message here on The Word, it would be that God's promises, God's forgiveness, God's hope, it can all be trusted. You know, the Bible says that His promises are yes and amen. They will happen. If God promises something, it will be done. And I would direct you to the Word of God this morning. It makes a lot of promises, and he will come through. So I'm hoping to speak to someone. I know that I won't speak to everyone this morning, but I'm hoping to speak to someone that if you hang on long enough, in due time, with a little patience, maybe a lot of patience and long suffering, your dream will become a reality, your God-given dream. You know, there's a lot of people, they start getting a little older and they reach these midlife crises because they had dreams. They were in high school, they were a teenager, they had no cares, their parents did everything, and they had these big dreams of what they would accomplish in life. And then they reach 30, 40, 50 years old, they look back and they say, wow, none of that happened. They may even look across the room at their once knight in shining armor and realize that it hasn't turned out exactly like they had expected. And then a lot of people start making a lot of quick decisions. They start filing for divorce. They start trying to change career paths. They just get all in a tizzy and nervous wreck. All because they had expected to be. Was not a reality. But I'm here to tell you today that if you'll hang on to the dream that God has planted on the inside of you, He will make that dream a reality. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for this day that you have given all of us strength and mercy and grace that we can face whatever is before us because of your power that resides in us. Lord, I pray today that you would help all of us draw closer to you, that you would help all of us get so close that we hear your voice. This intimate relationship that I know that you long for, let us long for it more than the air that we breathe. Thank you again for this day. I pray that somehow, some way, someone out there listening will be blessed by what you have to say today. We give you the glory, the honor, and all the praise. In the precious name of Jesus we pray. Amen. We're going to take our text this morning from Genesis chapter 15. And again, as we finish up this series, Look to the Stars, we're going to begin to talk about dreams and why dreams are so important to hang on to. In Genesis chapter 15, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward." But Abram said, "Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus?" Then Abram said, "Look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir." And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "This one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir." Then he brought him outside and said, "Look now toward heaven and count the stars, if you're able to number them." And he said to him, "So shall your descendants be." And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. Then he said to him, "I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to inherit it." And he said, "Lord God, how shall I know that I will inherit it?" So he said to him, "Bring me a three-year-old," and then he goes into the sacrifice. If you go to verse 12, it says, "Now when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and behold, horror and great darkness fell upon him. Then he said to Abram, 'Know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in a land that's not theirs, and will serve them, and they will afflict them 400 years. This is all prophetic, and historically we know today that this all happened, the Jewish people into captivity. And also, the nation whom they serve I will judge afterward. We know that's a fact as well. Now as for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace, and you shall be buried at a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall return here, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete." And then it goes into some other things. But here's the conversation that Abraham is having with God. And he's saying, "Lord, what's my dream? How will you fulfill my dream," I should say. Because he said, "I go childless, and I don't have an heir." And he says, "One of my house shall be my heir." But God speaks and says, "No. One will come from you. You will have a son. He will be your heir." Now, we know if we read on going into chapter 16 that they start making some pretty poor decisions. They start trying to rush the process. They start trying to find a way to create the dream, to make the dream happen, to make this impossible thing happen by their own hands, by their own schemes, by their own methods, and from that comes Ishmael. Now, we know historically that Isaac and Ishmael, Isaac's the promise, Ishmael was them trying to make the promise happen. I'll tell you a story. The very first time I ever went to India, Pastor Raw, who I work with quite often every year, actually since my first trip, began to tell me about this guy named William Carey. And I had heard the name at that point in time, but I wasn't really familiar with him. But William Carey is considered by many all around the world to be the catalyst behind what we know as the modern missions movement. And he had a quote that he would say. He'd say, "Expect great things from God. Attempt great things for God." You know, when we talk about Abram today, he lived in God's way. He tried to dream big for God. And the Bible says, because he believed God, it was counted to him for righteousness. But I hope that today, the conclusion of this program, the conclusion of this message, that we can find from this biblical example how each of us will become big dreamers for God. Again, William Carey said, "Expect great things from God and attempt great things for God." I have a cousin who, at a young age, wrote a song called "Nothing's Too Big for My God." And that's thus the reality of it today. Nothing is too big for my God. He gave David strength to fight that giant. He gave Gideon wisdom and power to, with a small army, obtain victory. And the stories go on and on and on. Took a guy like Abram and said, "You will produce a son and he will be your heir." And he did it. And I would argue that today he continues to do great things in the lives of his people. We are not a forgotten, forsaken people. As a matter of fact, his word declares to us that he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. If you once dreamed big, and that dream you know is planted by God, but you have grown discouraged, maybe you wonder whether these dreams can even still be realized. Maybe you're getting older and you're saying too much time has passed. Let's take a look at this message today, because I believe Abram is going to help us dream again. Now, we're going to cover some encouraging ground, because we're going to talk about how God's big dream for you can be a reality. When you think about what we just read out of Genesis 15, there are two very important words there. One word is vision and one word is reward. Today we're going to focus on how a person's vision can lead to a very rewarding life. If you look there, and this is from the New Living Translation, if you look there at verse 1 again, "Afterward the Lord spoke to Abram in a vision and said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Abram, for I will protect you, and your reward will be great.'" There are four essential attitudes if we're going to fulfill our God-given dream. Number one is that you have to realize that your dream will need to be tested. Here's the reality of it. Nothing in life good ever comes easy. I remember sitting in 2003 in a boardroom and feeling like God was telling me to leave my job and go full-time ministry, and I can promise you that was not easy. And the steps leading up was not easy. A woman that I worked with at the time, her name's Kathy, she has passed on. I've seen her, I don't know, maybe 7-8 years after I had left my place of employment. And she introduced me to her fiance at the time, and she said, "This is Tom. This is the one that we all called crazy, and we all thought he was nuts for leaving his job. He left a job that had income and went to no income, and we all thought he was crazy." She said, "But look what God has done." And there's the key. Your dream will have to be tested. If you're believing God for something right now, and you're going through some very difficult challenges, and you're being pressed, it seems, on every side, I believe you're right where you're supposed to be, because your dream is being tested. Remember what I said in the very beginning? Many of us never realize our dreams because we give up way too soon. When we're in the middle of that dream being tested and things are happening all around us, that's when a lot of people throw in the towel and say, hey, I'm going to go a different direction. I'm going to take an easier route. But you have to, there's another word I want you to focus on. The New King James, which is what I read from originally, says after these things. Another version says afterward. This is the very first portion of chapter 15. But after what? Afterward, after these things, after what? What was the Bible saying? What had been happening in Abram's life up to this point for chapter 15 to start with afterwards? Well, let's take a look. In Genesis chapter 12, God called Abram to leave his home at the age of 75. We talked about that. So here goes Abram. He's out. He's chasing this voice that said to him, go. He doesn't even know the precise location of where he's going. Remember, we talked about this. He doesn't know where this promised land is, but he's believing God. He's trusting God. He's walking by faith, and he's definitely not walking by sight. And there he goes. Believe in God, and guess what happens? He finds himself in the midst of a famine. He's forced to take his family, his servants, his flocks, his herds into Egypt. While he's there, he tells a lie about his wife so that Pharaoh won't kill him. Pharaoh takes Sarah, but God protects her in spite of Abram's deception, and she returned to Abram untouched. Now, this character flaw of Abram is not covered up in Scripture. One of the many reasons we know the Bible is true is because it tells it like it is. Abram was weak. He lied. There was no excuse for his deception. Now, he claimed that Sarah was his sister, the daughter of his father, but not his mother. But when she became his wife, this was the relationship by which they were to be known. And there's no excuse for him telling this lie. But this is what happened after these things, or before these things, I should say. Chapter 15 says, after these things, after what things? Abram did not stop his journey. Yeah, he was a failure. He had lied, but he didn't stop. So in Genesis chapter 12, what do we find out? We find out that his dream is being tested. It was tested by famine. And it was tested by failure. And this is really, really important because many of us, in pursuit of our dream, in pursuit of whatever it is that's on our radar, we experience failure and we give up. I'm telling you today that failure, or let me say it this way, success can never be tasted unless failure is tasted first. And boy, then does success taste a whole lot better. Don't give up on the brink of God doing something great in your life. If you fast forward to chapter 13, Abram separates himself from his nephew Lot. We talked about that as well. There wasn't enough grazing land for both of their herds and flocks, so Abram let Lot take his pick. And he chose foolishly. He got this lush land, but it was connected to the wicked city of Sodom. And we know what happens there. He ends up fleeing for his life. But his family life is devastated because he chose with improper priorities. Remember the message? He was the only other priest king in the Bible other than Jesus. And so, secondly, no one could trace his human origin, and you find that in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 3. And that's why in Hebrews 5, 6, it emphasizes that Jesus was a priest after the order of Melchizedek. He wasn't from a normal high priestly line of Aaron. Jesus was a priest king of supernatural origin. He was the only priest with human sin, which is the only way Jesus could be our Savior. So anyway, what does Abram do when he meets this Christ-like figure? He pays tithes. In fact, this is the very first mention of someone giving 10% as an act of worship in the Bible. Anyway, so we see Abram's vision. It was tested by famine, it was tested by failure, it was tested by conflict, and then it was tested by warfare, and ultimately it was tested by prosperity. These are all very important things to focus on here. And that's the stuff that came before the after these things. So do you see the pattern? After Abram stepped out by faith and left his homeland, after he'd been through the famine, after he'd embarrassed himself when he lied, after he had had the dissension or the separation with Lot, after he had fought, won the battle with the Babylonian kings, after he had passed the test with his possessions, his prosperity test, after those tests, God appeared to him in a vision. A lot of us would have given up after having one of those tests. Be honest. Again, a lot of us never realize our dream because we give up way too soon. And a lot of us would have given up way too soon after that very first test that Abram went through. Many of us would have given up then. But when we actually realize that our dreams must be tested, it helps to promote or present a better attitude to those tests. And let me say this, a good, positive, faith-filled attitude is essential if you're going to realize your God-given dream. I would argue that those who see their dreams come to pass are those who persevere through the tough times. I would argue that they are people who refuse to give up. They are people who refuse to quit. They will not tap out. Rather, their perseverance, their ferocious attitude, so to speak, it wins out. It's Jacob wrestling with God, refusing to quit. It's the difference between winning and losing in every field of life. It's that mental toughness we talked about several weeks ago here on The Word. It's in sports, it's in business, it's in marriage, it's in family life, it's in everything. You succeed because you have a superior attitude. You trust. There's a little bit of stubbornness in you. You believe that what God says, God means, and you will not settle for anything else. Those are the ones that realize. Those are the ones that are able to touch that tangible dream, to see it become a reality. And here's the thing. Many people say, well, I'm not smart enough. I'm not talented enough. I'm not gifted enough. I'm not skilled enough. Let me tell you something. People who see their God-given dreams come to pass, they're not always the ones that are so smart or so gifted or so skilled. They don't always have the best resources. They're just people who refuse to lose. They refuse to quit. They say in their hearts and in their minds, I will not back down. I will not quit. We can look throughout the Word of God at all the patriarchs and we will see that their dreams were not realized overnight. Testing, it took years of going on the potter's wheel. But they realize God's dream. Why is it so important that our dream be tested? Because God doesn't give his dreams to just anyone. Did you hear me this morning? God doesn't just say, here you go. He gives them to those people who will not allow the distractions of this life to keep them from walking on the road that he's called them to. He wants and needs our undivided attention. And the things we go through, they're not meant to hinder us. They're not meant to discourage us. They're not meant for us to give up and to quit. Actually, the purpose of the things we go through are to bring us closer to God and to make us, I believe, a more well-rounded person. A.W. Tozer said, "It's doubtful God can use any man greatly until he's hurt him deeply." The Bible says that a broken and contrite spirit God will not refuse. The next thing that your dream has to have is, in order for you to realize your dream, I should say, is that you have to remember, the Lord spoke to Abram in a vision. God gives reassurance. I remember those days where I can remember laying on the floor crying and asking God, "Lord, did I mess up? Was I really supposed to leave my job? This doesn't look like you. This doesn't feel like you." I can remember those brief moments of reassurance. There were always times that I felt I needed it, that he knew better, and he always gave it exactly when I really needed it, not when I thought I needed it. You think about all the things we have at our disposal today that Abram didn't have. This is a guy out there walking, going somewhere. He doesn't even know where he's going. And God's given him a promise, and he's old, and his wife is old, and they're thinking, "What? How is this going to happen?" And you think about everything we have. We have smartphones and iPads and a Bible that is full of God's word. Abram didn't have any of that stuff. He just had he had the voice of God guiding him and directing him. He had a vision. He had a dream. God wants to communicate with us. And I think a lot of times what happens is we've allowed all the gadgets and gimmicks and all the things that are in today's world to separate us from communicating with God. I ended last week's program talking about how we can become so distracted that we can't hear God's voice. If you take a look at the church of Ephesus in the book of Revelation, the letter that was wrote to them said that, you know, and if you study Ephesus, you understand they were in a very wealthy place. They seemingly were doing all the evangelistic outreaches. They were doing all kind of good stuff. But Jesus said, "I have somewhat against you because you've left your first love." Of course, our first love can't be anything but Jesus Christ. So I believe what they were saying, or what he was saying when he wrote the letter, what Jesus was saying was, "Hey, listen, you're doing a lot of good stuff. You're busy. You're reaching out and you're offering people hope. But you've forgotten me. You talk about me. You use me in your sermons. You use me in your evangelistic outreaches, but you have forgotten fellowship with me. You have forgotten to communicate with me." Listen, God wants to communicate with us. He communicates through his word. I can be driving down the road hearing a song, and God's communicating with me through this song. A lot of people call this far-fetched, but if you've never walked this road and you've never lived with him in your heart, let me tell you something. He is real. You can call me crazy. You can call me what you will. I don't care. I'm here to tell you today that I have no doubt in my mind that Jesus Christ is alive and well. I am not who I was. That's the best evidence I have. A lot of people say that the faith in Jesus is foolish. It's not foolish. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. He's real. If there's anything I know he's real. We have it better than Abram had it. God can speak to us every single day. All you got to do is open up that word. Communicate with him through prayer. We have more access to revelation than Abram had. We have all these things at our disposal. There's really no excuse. Yet we're so busy and we do all these things, and sometimes we fall short, don't we? Aren't you grateful that he loves us anyway? The third thing, and if I'm going to get through these, I've got to speed up. The third thing, as it pertains to you realizing your dream, is, "Do not be afraid, Abram. I will protect you." You have got to replace all that fear of failure, that fear of the unknown, that fear that you're not worthy, you're not acceptable, you're not skilled, you're not talented, you're not gifted, you're not da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Whatever the list is, you have to replace all that fear with a firm, solid foundation of faith. Fear is pushing out your faith. Fear is telling you you cannot do these things. Fear is telling you that you cannot accomplish these things in your life. And God's word, and I'm here to tell you today and to encourage you, you don't have to be afraid. He says, I am with you, even until the ends of the world. And I can tell you this. He says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. That's who he is today. That's who he is. I see his hand in my life. I have my life since I've given my heart to him has never been the same. I didn't say it's been perfect, and I definitely didn't say that I've been perfect. In many ways, I've been probably the chief of sinners, and in many ways, I have been the biggest failure ever created. But I can tell you this. He has never, no, not one time has he ever failed me. There have been times that I wished he'd have done this, or that he would have done that, or that he would have explained this, or he would have explained that. But he has never one time failed me. We sing a song sometimes on Sunday morning that says that he's never failed and he won't start now. Dream that dream. Hold on to God. I believe it's in the book of Galatians. It says that we will attain it if we faint not. So we talk about fear. Why did God tell Abram, listen, don't be afraid? What would he be afraid of? Maybe he was afraid that the Babylonian kings would be seeking retribution. Maybe he was afraid that the king of Egypt would be coming in wrath because he had lied. But that can't be true, can it? He already survived those tests. He already won those battles. The battle he hadn't yet won, I believe, was the test of his faith. You see, God had promised to make him this great nation, that he would have all these descendants. But you know, he didn't have a child. So how is he going to have all these descendants? How is God possibly going to fulfill this dream? How can I be the father of many nations when I can't be the father to one? You seeing this today? How was God going to do this? Abram said, well, there's an heir in my house, Eliezer of Damascus. He's to be the heir. We know in chapter 16 that Sarah had a plan, that Abram would father a child with Hagar, and he did, Ishmael. But that wasn't the promise. They both missed the mark. Both plans fell short of what God had. And both plans were motivated by fear. They failed because of fear. And God was trying to cause Abram to be a child of faith, not a child of fear, a product of faith, not a product of fear. He said, don't be afraid. Just because it's humanly impossible doesn't mean it's divinely impossible. God can do anything. I want to get that in you today. God can do anything. I'm going to say that again just so you get it. God can do anything. You need to go back to the foundation of your faith, to that moment where you believed what I just said, to that moment where you lived what I just said, and believe still today that no matter where you are in your life, no matter how much time has passed, God can do anything. And I believe that he is daily doing the impossible. Matthew 7:20, if you had faith even as small as a tiny mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, move, and guess what? It would move. nothing would be impossible. I told a story about, I believe Chuck Swindoll originally told the story of a village in India where this farmer was selling quail. And what he had done is he had tethered the legs and then tied all the quail, I think there were maybe 12 of them, to a pole in the middle, and he had trained those quail to walk in a circle around that pole. I don't know how much time passed, but a considerable amount of time passed, and that's what those quail did. They walked and they circled that pole. One day, another farmer, feeling very, very sorry for those birds, he came and he said, "Listen, I want to buy every single one of them." So, absolutely. Yeah, here you go. After he had purchased the quail, he told the former owner, he said, "Okay, now I want you to turn them loose. Let them go." First, the farmer looked at him funny, but he said, "No, they're mine. Turn them loose." So, he cut the tethers. The quail, they are no longer bound. Come on now. They're no longer bound to walk in that circle. But guess what happened? They just kept walking in that circle. They didn't even realize they were no longer tied. So that farmer began to shoo them quail. Shoo, shoo, go. And they flew over a little ways all together. And then they landed, and there's no pole, there's no tether, there's no nothing. But guess what those quail did? They continued. Go free, unfettered, released, no longer in bondage. Yep, they just kept walking in a circle. That's many of us today. But God doesn't want us to just go around and around in circles, fearing, having insecurities, self-confidence issues. John 8:36, if the Son has made you free, you are free indeed. And then finally, the fourth thing in order to realize your dream is that when it's all over, and this is the best part, there's a great reward. You know, I fear that in today's church world, we no longer talk about the reality of heaven and hell. I am very concerned. Listen, I am very, very concerned. I'm a relatively young minister. Of course, I'm getting older and older, and a lot of younger ministers have went a different direction. I thank God for my upbringing that I believe that we must travel the old paths. I believe the old paths were the right paths. I believe that in our country. I believe that in the church. I believe that in our homes. I believe that. It's when things will get a little better is when we go back to where we trust in God for everything. But anyway, I fear. I'm concerned. I know I'm telling you not to fear, and I'm telling you, but I do. I fear for the church. I fear for the church. Now, when I say the church, I mean this establishment that we currently see before our eyes in the world, because Jesus said, "On this rock I will build my church," his church, "and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." See, he's going to have a church without spot nor wrinkle. But that doesn't mean that what we see before us is not in trouble. And I believe it is. I believe it is. We don't preach heaven and hell. We don't preach sin. We just appease everyone. We just tell everyone everything's okay. But I believe there's a standard. I haven't always been able to live up to that standard myself, but it doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. That's where Jesus comes in. Where you fall short, he picks it up. When the burden's too heavy, he takes it all. That's what he does. That's what he did. I seen someone posted the other day that karma is basically what goes around, come around, you get what you deserve. That's karma. You always hear people say, "Yeah, well, karma will get you." I just kind of sit there, whatever, you know. But Christianity is that Jesus got what you deserved. So it's not coming back around, so to speak. I just believe that we need to press on to the high calling. We're not there yet. Listen, I'm sitting over here, and I feel tremendously honored to be able to talk with you, to communicate with you this morning via this Blog Talk Radio, via the New Beginnings Church app, however you're listening to this. whether it be at newbeginningswv.com or at blogtalkradio.com/whatsimportantnow, or however this gets in your ears, whether it's June the 10th, 2015, or 4 years from now. I feel very honored to be able to do this, but I am not a perfect man. I am so flawed. I know, and he knows. I've got problems, and I believe that we all are broken babies, and I believe that we all are in tremendous need of being fixed. But I want to tell you today that if you'll hold on, there's a great reward waiting for you. Remember what I said about Walt Disney at the very beginning? When Disney World opened in Florida, that reporter said, "You know, isn't it a shame that your husband didn't get to see this?" And she said, "He did see it. That's why it's here." Now hold on, because I believe that your dream is not just for you. Your dream is not just for you in the here and now. Your dream, maybe you're laying it up for someone else. Is that okay that we do that, that we are not so self-centered, that we actually try to leave something behind? I have three children, and I want to leave something behind for them. And I believe, personally, the greatest thing that I can leave them is a foundation of Jesus Christ. You know, my daughter's going to be a junior in high school, and we talk a great deal about what she's going to do after graduation. And she's talking about being a nurse, and she's talking about the possibility of being a teacher. And I have what I think she should do. Her mom has what she thinks she should do. But what we have tried to bring to the conversation, and to me it's paramount, it's the most important thing. And I've had multiple conversations with my daughter, and thank God her heart is pointed towards God. We all agree that she should do what God wants her to do. And when he reveals it, and he will, and sometimes, I have found this, sometimes he reveals it in a way where he says, okay, just like he told Abram, he said, you're going to go. You're not going to know exactly where you're going. You're just going to go in this direction. And when you're there, I'll tell you. Sometimes it works that way. Sometimes you have a clear-cut vision. Sometimes you just have to trust and believe God. Wherever you are today, right now, trust and obey, believe him, and say, I believe God. There is a great reward. Remember, your dream is going to be tested. And remember, throughout the entire process, guess what? God's going to be there. He's going to reassure you. He's going to encourage you. As long as you don't throw the towel in, he's going to reassure you. And he wants you to replace any fear you have with faith. And then, if you faint not, there's a great reward. It's waiting for you. What dream has God given you? Think about this today. If you're like me, there are loved ones in your life that you worry about, you concern yourself with, and you know they need to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Believe. Dream that big dream. You look at them right now and you think there's no way they're ever going to get it. Dream. Believe. Hope and pray and trust God. And you'll begin to see God helping you. Maybe you've got some family issues or marital problems. Don't give up. Maybe your problems are financial. Don't throw in the towel. Boy, I feel this today. I'm so grateful for his presence. If there's a dream that is in you that is still unfulfilled, dream on. Dream on. He says, do not be afraid. I will protect you and your reward will be great. Never give up on your dream. Boy, I hope you've been encouraged today by this as we conclude this series, Look to the Stars. Let's say a prayer. Father, I hope, it is my hope, and I believe that you do the impossible. I believe that you today have spoken to the heart and life of someone and that they have been encouraged by this. I believe someone's life can be changed here today in this moment. It's not because of my words. It's yours. If there's anyone out there, Lord, that does not know you as their personal Lord and Savior, I pray that you impress upon them so strongly, God, that they just say that sinner's prayer where they acknowledge that they're sinful, Father, and they acknowledge that they believe that you, your Son lived and died and was resurrected again on the third day, and that he can and will live on the inside of them. Thank you for all that you do. Thank you for any blessings. We are so very grateful. In the precious name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen. Next week on The Word, we're going to talk this new series, Blockbusters in the Bible. And I want to tell you something. This past Sunday, when I preached this message, I don't know how to explain it. It was just one of those messages where you just know that God is speaking. And God's so good. God is so good. But that's a program you definitely want to tune in for. Look at Elijah and how after his victory, seemingly, his faith was at its utmost. He replaced it with fear and he ran. But he ran right into the arms of God and he got something he never really expected. He seen a side of God that he never really had seen before. And I want to encourage you to tune into that program because I believe that it can change your life. It can change your walk with the Lord. So I encourage you to do that. If you'd like to send us an email, anything at all, it's whatsimportantnowradio@gmail.com, whatsimportantnowradio@gmail.com, prayer requests, praise report, whatever. Also, find us on Facebook, or Win Radio Program, or What's Important Radio Program on Facebook. Twitter, you can follow me at T-Sears, Win Radio, T-Sears, Win Radio. And if you are a listener here on Blog Talk Radio, go ahead and sign up for one of those free accounts, and then follow us. This is all a way to stay connected with all of our, like tomorrow night from 7 to 9 a.m. in the evening. It's part two of our War on Drugs on the What's Important Now radio program, our live program, 2 hours every single week. Well, let me back up. Last week we abbreviated it to an hour because some things that were beyond our control. But anyway, the plan is to go 2 hours. So I encourage you to tune in for that. And to know more about our church or ministry, it's beginningswv.com. And we've been announcing, and a lot of people are down our New Beginnings Church app. And if you have an Apple iPhone or Android-based smartphone, you can go to Apple iPhone, go to the App Store, type in New Beginnings Church, WV. It looks a little plant growing up on the ground. It says New Beginnings, and check it out. And when you download it, make sure you sign up for push notifications because daily there is a devotional. We'll be uploading messages and various announcements and prayer requests, and it's a way to be connected, even if you're so far away. And we hope that you'll do that. And then if you're Android-based, I think it's a Google Play Store or the Play Store. I have an iPhone, so I'm not sure. Same thing, New Beginnings, sign up. Make sure you sign up for the push notifications. Okay, I think I've covered everything. Oh, our mailing address is 8901 Good Hope Pike, Lost Creek, West Virginia, 26385. It's been my absolute honor to be here with you. I'm not going to keep talking for 7 minutes and 50 seconds just for the sake of talking. I believe that God has been a part of this program today, and we believe that the message has been put forth, and I do pray that if you joined in the middle or at the end, go back and listen to it. I believe that God was able to speak to us today. I really felt his presence. So anyway, tune back in next Wednesday morning, 10 a.m. for The Word again, and we're going to start that series, Blockbusters and the Bible, talking about Elijah next week. And I know you'll be blessed if you tune in for that. And, of course, tomorrow night from 7 to 9 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com/What's Important Now. we have the What's Important Now radio program, and we're going to tackle the tough topics and continue to talk about the drug problem here in America. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thanks so much for being a part of our program. I'm Tom Sears, and this has been The Word. May God bless you and everything you put your hands to. May it prosper. Have a wonderful day. Until we talk again, take care.